How do you guys plan vacations? We just went, my wife and I, you know, about a month ago or so, went to the Cove, the Billy Graham's training center, and we sat under the teaching of Jim Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle. It was amazing. And as we looked at our atlas, that's kind of how we start. We kind of begin to look at this, and I go right to the where we're going, and my wife, she's always going back here. She's even got the page turned down for me. She goes back to get the, you know, zooms out to see the whole country, and she said, well, here's we are, and here's where we want to get to, and then we start looking at each individual state. We actually went right through your hometown, Ken. I can't believe that. Then we saw the big marquee. Ken Woodward, you know, lived here. And invariably, what happens in, as we begin to chart the course and do all of that kind of thing, one of us says to the other, you know what, you just can't get there from here. Can't do it. You just can't get there from here. Well, as I study my scriptural atlas, from which our preacher writes in Hebrews chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you will open them to Hebrews 5. And he exhorts this first century church and this very young church and this 21st century church with, I think, this morning's exhortation. You know, this is his 13 chapters is a word of exhortation. He's writing the words of exhortation from Hebrews 13. And I think basically that's kind of what he's saying to us. He's saying, you know what, you just can't get there from here. Now, by there, I mean heaven. You know, that place where God is. And by here, we're speaking about the human condition. The human condition without Jesus. That the scripture says in Romans 3:10 that there's nobody righteous, not even one. In 3:23 of Romans, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there are many other verses that we can quote. That's the human condition without Jesus. And so indeed, you can't get there from here without Jesus. Are you with me? No wonder he exhorted us in chapter 2 and verse 1, pay attention. And in chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, now take care. Pay attention. Take care. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Only Jesus can stop the drifting. Only Jesus can stop the falling. Only Jesus. We need Jesus. And so I join with the preacher to say once and for all, yikes. Yikes. And let's see if I can help us get to the yikes. Chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. Here's what the preacher writes. For every high priest taken from among men, that's important to underscore that. A high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is ignorant and misguided. Is beset. In my text, it says, is beset. That's an interesting word. It means to be chained about. It comes from two little words. A prefix, peri, which is in Greek means about. And the root of the word means chains.
Paul talks about it being in chains in Acts 28. And so it means to be chained about, to be beset with weakness. That's the high priest who has been taken from among men and appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, so that he might offer sacrifices, those gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset or is chained about with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins. As for the people, so also for himself, because he's one of them. Okay? When he's praying for sins to be forgiven, and we'll see the backdrop of this is actually found in Leviticus, and also in a passage in Numbers, but in Leviticus 4. If you want to flip on over to Leviticus 4, hang a left at Hebrews where you are, and go to the front end of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, okay? And then we're going to go to chapter 4 here very quickly. Verse 4 says, "And no one takes the honor to himself, but rather receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was." A high priest taken from among men on behalf of men. Now, that's contrasted with what we heard earlier last week from Michael in Hebrews 4. For in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has not been taken from men, but has passed through the heavens." So we're not talking about a human beginning here, but we're talking about a heavenly beginning. He passed the high priest. We have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet, unlike the high priest taken from men on behalf of men, yet without sin. The high priest that he speaks of here in chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 is one who is chained about by sin and by weakness. And as I said, the whole point of the high priest was to offer sacrifices in order that sins might be forgiven. Now, the backdrop for this is found over in Leviticus chapter 4. Are you there? Are you there? Chapter 4. Now, instead of using the words misguided and ignorant, he uses a different word, same meaning. And we find it in chapter 4 and verse 2. "Speak to the sons," let's back up to 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins..." What does your translation say? Unintentionally. That's what mine says as well. And yours may say a little different word, but that's the same thing. It's an unintentional. "In any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and commits any of them." And then he goes on to talk about at least three different groups of people. The first group you'll find is in verse 13 of Leviticus 4. This is the backdrop of Hebrews 5, of this passage that the preacher is wanting to exhort us with. About you can't get there from here? Okay. And so in verse 13, we're introduced to what he says. "Now if the whole congregation of Israel commits error, and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly," that's that unintentional stuff. That's the unintentional stuff. If you're taking notes, it's the sins that are committed unwittingly. They're ignorant of it. It just happened. It reminds me, on the way back from the cove, let me tell you, do you know that there are some states that do not allow you to talk on the cell phone while you're driving? One of those happens to be Illinois. And how did I find that out? Well, I was talking on the cell phone while I was driving around Lawrenceville, Illinois, southern Illinois, and here is this wonderful police officer, Andy, wonderful police officer who is sitting in his tank, looked like a tank, in the middle of the median. And I was all right until I waved. Hey, what's going on? I didn't wave. So I'm going through that. I didn't really know that you're not supposed to be on the cell phone. It was unintentional. That's what I told him when he pulled me over. He said, Mr. Phil, really nice. Did I tell you how much of a nice guy he was? So he says, you know, he goes through the whole thing. He says, well, you know, in Illinois, sir, said, I see your tag is from Missouri. And he says, in Illinois, you're not supposed to be on the cell phone when you're driving. Cell phone? Do I have a cell phone? And as I have it in my hand, you know, no. And so I said, you know what? I think I did hear something about that, but I knew I wasn't speeding. I just didn't know, you know, but I was guilty. I was guilty. He said, you know what? I'm aware that there, because we have a lot of folks, same kind of thing. So he said, I'm just going to write you a warning. Just going to write you a warning, and for which I'm, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Did I tell you I know Andy Oath? You know, so, anyway. He has a badge and a gun on him. So anyway, and a fire hose. He's a firefighter, too. So anyway, it was one of those kinds of deals. But you know what, guys? Still guilty. Even though I just got a warning, I was still guilty. Unintentional. I was misguided. And ignorant. Of the law, I was. I was, honestly, I really was. So he says in verse 13, now if the whole congregation of Israel commits error and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly and they become guilty, so the high priest is offering sacrifice and it goes through what he's supposed to do with the bull and the entrails and all that. Don't go there. But if you'll go all the way down to verse 20, here's what you'll see. It says this, he shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them and they will be forgiven. So far, so good. Okay? And then there's another group where they're identified in verse 22. When a leader sins and, what does your text say? Unintentionally. Okay? The ignorant and misguided. It's the backdrop of Hebrews 5. And we know that leaders do this because the high priest was identified by the preacher in Hebrews 5 as being chained about by sin. That's the difference between the high priest. And you know, folks, we are a kingdom of priests. That's what 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says. That's what Revelation 1:6 says, that's what Revelation 5:10 says, and there are other passages. Those are just three that just kind of pop into my mind right now. And so when the leader has done this, okay, talked on the cell phone, unintentionally, it was unwitting. If you'll read on down, what's his fate? Verse 26, thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin, and he will be, say it, forgiven. And then there's a third group. There's a group that just showed up in town when they were doing the sacrifice. You know, the big barbecues going on all over Jerusalem. And the sojourner and the businessman, he's not a Jew. He's just showing up. And he happens to be there in town when all this is happening. He's called the common people. Okay? Now, if any one of the common people sins unintentionally, and if you'll go on down to verse 31, you'll see his fate. After all of the bull and the entrails and all that stuff is done, in the latter part of verse 31, he says, thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. So, sins that are committed unwittingly, according to our Old Testament atlas, are forgiven. So far, so good. But here's the question I would say regarding sins committed unintentionally. I told you about mine a while ago with the cell phone. Was I guilty? Is this for you? When sin's committed unwittingly, is this for, yes, it's for, hello, it's for us, right? It's for us. Why do I know that? Because what I quoted a while ago from Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there's no one righteous, not one. And 3:23 says all. You know what all means in the Greek? Thank you. All have sinned. Everybody's fallen short. Andy, aren't you glad that God saves us from our falling shorts? Sorry. It's too easy. So I would say, so far, so good. Is this for you? Of course it is. Of course this is for us. But what about sins committed willingly? Or willfully? Either way. What about those sins that we know that we're committing? We're here. Go to Numbers 15. This is the backdrop for this. Numbers 15 begins in verse 27, just four or five little verses. I'm going to read the whole passage. Also, if beginning verse 27, Numbers 15, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book of the Pentateuch. Also, if one person sins unintentionally, there's that word again, then he shall offer a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who goes astray when he sins unintentionally, there it is again, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. We know that, right? From Leviticus 4. Verse 29, you shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the sons of Israel, for the alien who sojourns, that's the common dude, common guy, sojourns among the people, the whole congregation and the leader and all of that. And then verse 30 and 31. But the person who does anything defiantly or willfully or willingly, I know this is wrong, I'm going to do it anyhow. That's what that means. That's a little different, okay? For the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is a native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be, look at this, cut off from among his people. Whoa. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt will be on him. Yikes! Well, the first sins committed, was that for you? You betcha. Of course it's for you. All have sinned. What about the sin that's committed defiantly? You betcha. Is that for you? Sure it is. Why? Because there's not one righteous, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need Jesus, our high priest. See, the priest who is appointed by men on behalf of men can do nothing about this. I can't do anything about this. I can't do anything about this forgiveness of sin stuff. But the high priest can. The one who has not been, it's not a human appointment, but he's passed through the heavens. This one, and the writer of Hebrews, the preacher, later on, and Michael and Ken and some of the others as they speak, are going to talk to you about he was the once and for all sacrifice. He's the one that can do something about it. Oh, how we need Jesus. There is another yikes here for me as a And I think for all of us, as we are a kingdom of priests, and I just want to touch on this, and then I want to get to the second point for our close. I have a confession to make to you. Sometimes when I hear from the same people again and again and again and again, and they come to me and they say, I have this difficulty. Can you help me, Pastor? And I said, I'll do my best. And I'll take the word of God and I'll share with them what I believe the high priest has done for them on their behalf as he has passed through the heavens. Now, I know guys like Ken Woodward here and Ken Jenkins and Michael and Andy and John and I leave out anybody. Scott Claybrook, God bless him over at Legacy today. Pablo Cerna, these dear men, pastors. They probably don't have this problem. I've got a problem with this. Because sometimes the word to deal gently in Hebrews 5, it's the only time this word appears in the New Testament. I take note of stuff like that. I'm thinking, why did he use this particular word? It's on the front end, this prefix, metrio. And the root of it is pathos. Pathos. Metrio. Moderate. Like medium and that kind of thing. How do you want your steak done? Medium, just moderate. I don't want it overcooked. I don't want it raw, running with. It's not a sacrifice here in the plate here, you know. I want to meet you. To deal gently is the only time this Greek word appears in the New Testament. And it means, deal gently means to moderately suffer with or moderately feel. To have pathos. We want that in our doctors and in our nurses and people in healthcare. We want them to come alongside. We don't want them to sit off somewhere and look at a computer and never look at us and talk from the computer. We want them to come and to just sit right with us. We want them to sit right there. We want them to come and sit down, not on the, what is that? Did you cough that up?
No.
Anyway. We want them to sit there and we want them to say, it's like what Dr. Tunzevic did with Mark Kreit this week. He didn't have very good news to share. You've got, I won't go through the minutia, but you've got X, Y, and Z. But he sat there, he was touching on him. Sat there and he was looking right at him, just so gentle. That's the kind of, we want someone who has pathos. Who has pathos. Okay. And the confession I have is when I hear people that have come to me and have had the same issue, and I try as best I can through God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit to say, this is the prescription. If you'll just take this. If you'll just confess your need for Jesus in this situation. He will fix it. He will fix it. You're carrying around this load of guilt from something that happened years ago. Jesus loves you more. You don't have to drag that stuff around. We always talk about we always hear generational curses. What about generational blessing? What about taking people to Jesus and say, if you'll just say, I need Jesus and really mean it, you'll confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to go on cleansing you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to walk around with that junk hanging on you anymore. Why do we do that? And so when I have people that come to me and they're constantly dragging that stuff, you know, sometimes I don't deal gently. You know what happens? I don't have moderate feeling anymore. I have a tendency to not feel at all. and not care. I'm just saying. And I deal with this all the time. I say, oh God, I don't want to ever get like that. Because he reminds me, how many times did you ever come to me and did I ever turn you away? High priest can only go so far that's been appointed by men on behalf of men, but the high priest that has passed through the heavens once and for all, he can take care of it. Whatever you're dealing with today, just telling you. Wrote this down. Wrote it in my Bible here. It's so small, I can't even read it. Even with my glasses on. If the humanly appointed priest is to plead with God on behalf of men, he must bridle his natural disgust at the loathsomeness of sensuality. He must bridle his impatience at the frequently recurring fall. Are you here? Are you with me? Are you listening to me? He must bridle his hopeless alienation from the hypocrite and the superficial. Oh, I'll change, preacher. I'll change. If you'll just do this, I'll change. I'll change. Your pastors over at Fellowship, they'll probably have that problem. He must bridle his indignation at any confession that he hears from the not serious penitent. Just telling you, just the not only do people need Jesus, I need Jesus. Kingdom of priests, we need Jesus. Without him, you can't get there from here. Yikes. But there's a yep coming. Stay with me. I'm going to finish. And it's verses 5 through 10 of Hebrews 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Just as he says also in another passage, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, time does not permit to give you the explanation of that in my humble opinion. Just suffice to say that all other Aaronic Levitical priesthood there's a lineage, there's a family order to this thing. There's no family to this Melchizedek. There have been people who have indicated, well, maybe he really wasn't a real person. Maybe he was an angel. Maybe some have even indicated maybe he was Jesus incarnate, even back in the Old Testament, okay? Doesn't matter to me on that deal. You believe what you want. I've got an opinion personally, but that's really not important, my opinion, or probably yours. But just to say that the preacher exhorts, he says, this one, this high priest who has passed through the heavens, is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You know when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one of a kind born son, monogeneus in Greek, it means never was one like him, never be another one like him. He was the one and only. In the days, verse 7, of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him, from death. And he was hurt, probably a reference to the Gethsemane experience. You know, again, we're not exactly sure, but he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, here's that verse in verse 8 that I said is haunting or astonishing to me. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Here's why I say yep to the yikes. It's a passage that I read earlier from, I'm piggybacking on what Michael preached from Ephesians 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, verse 16, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy. Don't you? I love mercy. And find grace to help in the time of need. Folks, is this for you? Oh man, you betcha. This is for us, guys. This is for us. Why? Because, yes, we all have sinned and come short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 says this. But the free gift, are you with me? I'm going to say it again. But the free gift, help me with you. Help me. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Listen, that is a woo-hoo if I ever heard one. Okay, can I get a woo-hoo? So death under the old system, that's a yikes all the way. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Man, that's a yep if there ever was a yep. What we need is not a fellow loser, but a winner. Not one who shares our defeat, but one who leads us to victory. Not a sinner, but a Savior. We need Jesus. We need Jesus.
Sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels born in a song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, where I am free from care, safe from the world's temptations, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears. Only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe, I'm safe. Safe, safe, safe in the arms of Jesus, I'm safe. Refuge, blood he has shed for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till the sea the morning break on the golden shore. Say, say.
Oh, how we need you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. See you next week, okay? Don't shoot your hand off with fireworks, otherwise you'll end up getting treated by Jamie in the ER. So just be careful with all of that, all right? God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great week, okay? Love you. See you next Sunday.